Dr. Pinsky with a female. I am on Wendy Rivera, R-I-V-E-R-A. It is my understanding she has claimed an acute injury to her left knee while making a bed on 1/14/23. Apparently, she also alleges repetitive bending, carrying, pulling, twisting, standing, pushing, and all other job duties as a housekeeper resulted in injuries to her back, bilateral hands, and neck from 1/20/20 through the present. Apparently, this claim was denied. Paragraph, as per the information provided by the examinee, Ms. Rivera is a 51-year-old woman who reports on 1/14/23 she was pulling a blanket on a bed that she was making. She happened to be standing on the blanket and heard a crack in her left knee. She did not fall, twist, or strike the knee. She eventually underwent surgery on the knee on 5/14/23, but is no longer receiving any active treatment. She asserts that she injured her back and neck over time. These were treated with injections, but no surgical intervention. She, in fact, did have umbilical spine surgery in 2017 by Dr. Glass. She states she fell at work in 2007 with no connection to her spinal issues. New paragraph. As per the records provided, Ms. Rivera underwent an MRI of the left knee on 2/17/23. Parrott's findings were concerning for radial tear of the posterior root of the medial meniscus, mild extrusion of the meniscal body. Additionally, there are findings suggestive of degeneration and tearing of the body of the medial meniscus. There was mild medial and patellofemoral compartment osteoarthritis. There was a small joint effusion and a small Baker's cyst. New paragraph. She came under the orthopedic care of Dr. Dwyer. On 3/14/23, he performed arthroscopic partial medial meniscectomy of the left knee. The postoperative diagnoses were medial meniscal tear of the left knee, along with pre-existing patellofemoral and mild medial femoral condyle degenerative joint disease. She followed up with him through 5/22/23. The knee has posterior knee pain that radiates down her leg. She also has back pain but was working full duty. History was also remarkable for lumbar injections, left carpal tunnel decompression, ovarian surgery, hysterectomy, right shoulder surgery, lumbar laminectomy in 2017, right knee meniscus surgery in 2012 or 2013, and right knee replacement surgery by Dr. Orozco, O-R-O-Z-C-O, in 2015. Dr. Dwyer wrote, clinically, she has no effusion on full motion with stable ligaments. She was tender at the joint lines and had a trace effusion. She performed a corticosteroid injection to the left knee and allowed her to continue full duty. She deemed she was a maximum medical improvement and discharged her from care. New paragraph. Acutely after the subject event, she was seen at Pivot On Site Clinic on 2/23/23. It was noted that she had a great deal of chronic degenerative disease and older changes that occurred over time. She was referred to orthopedist and was evaluated in that regard by Dr. Dwyer, who then proceeded to surgery. New paragraph. Prior records show on 2/12/19, the petitioner was seen by Dr. Metier, M-E-E-T-E-E-R. This was for an occupational claim involving her lower back. She alleged she injured her lower back in a traumatic injury when working as a housekeeper for the Tropicana, but was unable to recall the date. period it had been years. Apparently, she fell in a guest room during her workday when she tripped over some sheets and landed on her lower back. Apparently, she indicated she did report this to the supervisor that day, but was unable to recall that person's name. Dr. Mateer had no records available for review supporting any traumatic injury involving the lower back at work. He also had no records available for review supporting any occupational exposure leading to her lumbar condition. He did review the records of Medical One, where she had been going for the past 10 years for her primary care. Dr. Mateer noted her further treatment with Dr. Glass, on 5/3/17, Dr. Glass performed fusion surgery at the L4-L5 level. She followed up post-operatively. Through 7/19/18, Parity stated her lumbar fusion was stable and her lumbar condition was stable. Parity did not recommend any further curative treatment. Dr. Mateer performed an evaluation and concluded that she has 10% permanent partial total disability due to her lumbar degenerative disc and joint disease with disc herniation, treated with fusion surgery regardless of cause and not due to her alleged occupational exposure at the Tropicana. He rendered a diagnosis of chronic low back pain with degenerative disc disease and disc herniation at L4-5. New paragraph. On 3/16/21, Dr. Mateer performed another evaluation relative to an alleged occupational injury involving her right shoulder from 1/1/16 through the present. He did review her primary care records at Medical One. None of them indicated any right shoulder abnormality due to her work at the Tropicana. He also reviewed records from Roth and Orthopedic on 10/19/16 through 10/21/20, documenting right shoulder pain with no mention that it was due to her work at the Tropicana. MRI of the right shoulder was done on 12/16/16. It showed some degenerative change involving the AC joint, but no other abnormality. There were no full thickness rotator cuff tear on that study. However, on 9/11/17, Dr. TJ performed right shoulder arthroscopy with distal clavicle resection, cava subacromial decompression with acromioplasty, and limited glenohumeral joint debridement. The postoperative diagnosis was a right shoulder AC joint arthropathy, impingement syndrome, and degenerative type 1 slap lesion. She completed physical therapy postoperatively and was discharged from care. Dr. Mateer apparently went on to opine relative to permanency, but the last few pages of his report were missing. New paragraph on 11/16/14, she had an MRI of the right shoulder compared to a study of 12/21/12, but there was no full thickness rotator cuff tear identified. On 12/15/15, she was evaluated by Dr. McClure. This was relative to her right knee as a result of experiencing pain getting up from the kneeling position in July of 2011. She denied having any prior knee complaints. She did proceed to surgical arthroscopy involving partial meniscectomy and chondroplasty. He had examined her in 2012 and issued a supplemental in May of 2012, noting this both partial, medial, and mastectomy and chondroplasty, for which he estimated 5% permanent disability to the right leg. Period. She now continued to refer to her neck, right shoulder, and low back complaints as a result of a slip and fall in August 2012. Period. She had an MRI of the cervical spine that was within normal limits. Period. MRI of the right shoulder showed no rotator cuff tear. Period. He reevaluated her in August 2013. Period. He noted slight progression of right knee arthropathy and estimated an additional 1.5% permanency, bringing her to 6.5% partial permanent disability at the right leg. But he found no permanency involving the cervical spine, right shoulder, or lumbosacral spine. Period. In November 2013, she saw Dr. Zabinski, who noted her complaints of increasing knee pain over the past 4 to 6 months. Period. In November 2013, she was seen by Dr. Cataldo. Period. Dr. Orozco performed right total knee replacement in 2015 due to advanced osteoarthropathy. Period. She returned to full duty work afterwards. Period. New paragraph. He also noted she saw Dr. Glass in September 2014. Period. He indicated there was a lumbosacral MRI from 2013. Period. Dr. Mateo did not believe she had any imaging prior to then that would identify a broad-based herniation at L4-5. Period. She was complaining of increased low back symptoms. Period. A new MRI was done in September 2014 and showed little change. Period. Dr. Glass discussed interbody prosthesis, but she was greatly disinclined to pursue surgical intervention. Period. She did go back to work regular duty and was able to do her job. Period. Overall, Dr. McClure diagnosed advanced osteoarthritis of the right knee requiring total knee replacement that was stable and good alignment. Period. He estimated an overall 25% partial permanent disability referable to the right leg regardless of cause. Period. This represents an increase of 18.5% over the figure previously estimated in 2013. Period. He continued to find no demonstrable evidence of permanent disability at the cervical spine or right shoulder. Period. At the lumbosacral spine, there was a broad-based herniation at L4-5 with no indication of significant stenosis or instability or radiculopathy. Period. Regardless of cause, he estimated 5% permanent partial total disability referable to the lumbosacral spine. Period. He wrote she had reached maximum medical improvement. Period. New paragraph, other records show. She was seen at Baylor Rehabilitation running through 2/18/14, where this was for her shoulder, for which x-rays were negative. Period. She received physical therapy that improved her symptoms. Period. She was formally discharged to an independent home exercise program at that time, and we seem to have reached a plateau. Period. New paragraph, Dr. Cataldo evaluated her at 11/21/13. Period. She claimed her right knee had become worse since the previous evaluation on 12/22/11. Period. And put this in bold once again. I do not have the remainder of his report, nor is it necessary. Period. New paragraph. At the referral of Dr. DeMarat, she underwent a lumbar MRI on 11/7/13 compared to a prior study done on 3/10/11. Period. There was a broad herniation at L4-5, slightly larger when compared to the earlier study. Period. There were no other significant lumbosacral abnormalities identified. Period. She was seen on 10/24/13 by Dr. DeMarat, reevaluating her for chronic low back pain. Period. She had been in therapy and on anti-inflammatories with no sustained relief. Period. She had no new treatment. Period. She had tenderness to palpation of the left lower lumbar spine with loss of flexion and extension. Period. His diagnosis was lumbar degenerative disc disease with persistent complaints. Period. He recommended an MRI, noting she had chronic back pain over the years. Period. And put this in bold. I don't have that MRI at my fingertips. New paragraph on 823.13. The petitioner was reevaluated by Dr. McClure. Period. He obtained a history and references early report of 2/13/12. But she continued to allege injury to the right knee when she got up from a kneeling position after cleaning the legs of a bar at work on 7/1/11. Period. She now related on 8/15/12 she was cleaning a tub at work when her hand slipped. She fell forward and all of her weight came down on her right hand and arm. She alleged injuries to her neck, low back, and right shoulder. She was initially seen at the casino medical station. Period. She had physical therapy and then orthopedic evaluation by Dr. Zabinski. Period. An MRI of the shoulder and neck were performed. Period. She also accepted 2 right shoulder injections that she found slightly helpful. Period. She denied any history of any other injury or treatment to the neck, low back, right shoulder, or right knee other than that described above. Period. She did not lose any time from work as a result of this incident and did not participate in light duty. Period. She continues to work with the same employer in the same capacity full-time. Period. After evaluation, Dr. McClure gave estimates of permanency. Period. He found an additional 1.5% partial permanent disability referable to the right leg, regardless of cause, noting this is an underlying degenerative change in the right knee. Period. He found no demonstrable objective evidence of permanent disability of the cervical spine, right shoulder, and lumbar sacral spine for the incident in question of August 2012. Period. He also wrote she had a 2012 cervical MRI that was within normal limits. Period. MRI of the right shoulder revealed no rotator cuff tear or labral tear and no acute bony changes. Period. She did see Dr. Zabinski, who provided 2 cortisone injections. Period. She also was seen by Dr. Wyand, OEIKND, in May 2013 for the right knee. She was given a diagnosis of underlying degenerative osteoarthropathy, for which a corticosteroid injection was provided. Period. New paragraph. We are in receipt of the progress note from Dr. Wyand, dated 5/21/13. Period. He believes she was experiencing what primarily from her degenerative arthritic right knee. Period. She had an MRI on 7/15/11, only 10 days after her work injury, that showed she had mild degenerative changes. Period. She also had arthroscopy and was diagnosed with grade 3 and grade 4 chondral lesions of the knee, as done by Dr. Zook on 8/2/11. Period. He explained that degenerative arthritis of the right knee pre-existed the patient's work injury. Dr. Wyand did perform a corticosteroid injection to the knee on this occasion. Period. On 12/21/12, she had the aforementioned MRI of the right shoulder. That same day, she had the cervical spine MRI that showed no disc herniation but did reveal straightening of the cervical lordosis. Period. A paragraph on 10/5/12, Ms. Rivera was seen by Dr. Zabinski. There she described being injured on 8/15/12 when she was scrubbing a tub. Her arm slipped, and as she was falling forward, she braced herself with her right arm to prevent falling completely. Period. She complained of symptoms in the right shoulder and cervical spine. Barrett also related additional symptoms involving the lumbar spine that was central with some radiation to the buttocks, but he had not been asked to evaluate these complaints. Barrett, he performed an evaluation and x-rays of the right shoulder were done. Barrett showed minimal subacromial sparring. Barrett's glenohumeral joint is well preserved. There was no significant AC joint degenerative change on plain x-rays, and no bony abnormalities were noted. Barrett gave diagnosis of right shoulder sprain and strain with right-sided cervical trapezial strain and sprain. She had little improvement with medications and therapy that had already been rendered. Barrett then recommended a corticosteroid injection that was administered on this visit. She was seen on 11/22/11 by a podiatrist named Dr. Menaquale for heel pain that had been present for at least 3 months. She had heel pain once before, but on this occasion it had worsened. She had been limping from her discomfort and working at the Tropicana Casino in housekeeping. He opined she had moderate-sized inferior calcaneal spur seen on x-rays. A right small calcaneal spur is noted, which is asymptomatic. He prescribed her custom molded prescription orthotics, common dorsal night splint, and gave her a corticosteroid injection to the left plantar region. Dr. Cataldo did perform another evaluation on 11/21/13, but at that time he offered 47.5% of the right leg, representing an increase of 25% over the prior workers' compensation award of 22.5% of the right leg. She was reevaluated by Dr. Zook on 9/12/11. Status post-surgical arthroscopy on 8/2/11. She was discharged from orthopedic care and was doing well. Any paragraph, Dr. Lisko, L-I-S-K-O, performed electrodiagnostic testing on 8/24/11. It showed medial nerve compression at the wrist on both sides, consistent with carpal tunnel syndrome. It was moderate on the right side, affecting motor and sensory fibers, and mild on the left, affecting sensory fibers only. There was no evidence of polyneuropathy or cervical radiculopathy. Dr. Zook indeed performed surgery on the right knee on 8/2/11. He performed arthroscopy with partial bleeding meniscectomy, arthroscopic abrasion arthroplasty of the lateral tibial plateau, arthroscopic chondroplasty of the medial femoral condyle and the patella. Postoperative diagnoses were medial meniscal tear, grade 3 chondral lesion of the medial femoral condyle, grade 4 chondral lesion of the lateral tibial plateau, and grade 3 chondral lesion of the patella. She saw him again on 7/22/11 after alleging she injured her right knee at work on 7/1/11. She already underwent an MRI that identified a tear of the medial meniscus and a small joint effusion. Dr. Zook was in agreement with that report. He informed her that degenerative joint changes were pre-existing and her related symptoms may persist despite surgery. The MRI of the right knee was done on 7/15/11. where the radiologist found mild degenerative change with no significant chondromalacia, although there was a small anterior effusion noted. There was a tear of the anterior horn of the medial meniscus, along with a mild to moderate sprain of the medial collateral ligament, also noted. She had a lumbar MRI on 3/10/11. It revealed absence of the normal lactic curve, suggesting muscle spasm. There was annular bulging at L3-4 and L5-S1. A disc herniation was noted at L4-5. Paired spinal stenosis was visualized at L4-5 and L5-S1. Paired she had an MRI of the right knee on 6/24/09 at the referral of Dr. Glasser, G-L-A-S-S-E-R. Paired this was for history of knee pain for 4 months. Paired it showed no meniscal or ligament tear. Paired findings were in keeping with mild osteoarthritis, most pronounced in the medial compartment where there is a near full thickness cartilage loss from the articular surfaces along the joint line with subchondral degenerative edema. There was partial thickness cartilage loss in the medial patellar facet but no full thickness defect. A small joint effusion was also noted. In the paragraph, Dr. Glasser had her undergo an echocardiogram on 2/17/09. That was read as normal. I found the missing last page of Dr. Cataldo's report of 11/21/13. He gave 47.5% of the right leg, representing an increase of 25% over the prior workers' compensation award of 22.5%. New paragraph. I had been advised that prior to the subject event, Ms. Rivera filed several different claims. One of these claims involved injuries to the right hand. Another involved injuries to the back, right shoulder, and neck. A third involved injuries to the back. And a fourth allegedly involved injuries to the right shoulder. Physical exam, extremities upper, normal, extremities lower. Inspection revealed healed portal scarring about the left knee and open surgical scarring about the right knee consistent with her arthroplasty. Normal three, there was mild tenderness, palpation about the right and left medial joint lines. Knee maneuvers normal, spine cervical. She was tender to palpation at the medial trapezii bilateral in the absence of spasm, but there was none in the midline. Thoracic, she was tender in the upper interscapular musculature bilateral in the absence of spasm, but there was none in the midline. Lumbosacral, she changed positions fluidly and was able to squat to 50 degrees. She sat comfortably at 90 degrees lumbar flexion, but actively flexed at 55 degrees. There was a healed midline 2.5-inch longitudinal scar consistent with her surgery. Extension bilateral rotation and side bending were full. There was tenderness palpation at the left paravertebral musculature in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the right. The rest of that is normal impressions. Wendy Rivera alleges to have injured her knee at work on 1/14/23 while making a bed. She also has claimed occupational injuries from 1/20 to the present, incorporating her back, both hands, and neck. This claim was denied. As noted above, she had already filed claims to these body areas on an acute traumatic basis. After the subject event, she had x-rays of the left knee. She also had an MRI of the left knee. Dr. Dwyer performed surgery on 3/14/23 to be inserted here. She followed up postoperatively through 5/22/23. She was doing well. He discharged her from care, having administered a corticosteroid injection. New paragraph, the current examination of Ms. Rivera. found that she had apparent hypertrophy of the right thigh musculature. This may be incorrect. Period. She ambulated without a gait or assistive device. Period. There's variable mobility in the lumbar spine. Period. Provocative maneuvers in the cervical, thoracic, and lumbar spine were negative. Period. She had full range of motion of both knees. Period. She had mild tenderness, palpation about the right and left medial joint lines. Period. Provocative maneuvers at the knees were negative. Period. New paragraph. There is 7.5% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory left leg. Period. This is for the orthopedic and neurologic residuals of the abnormalities seen on MRI and at surgery treated surgically. Period. In terms of the back, hands, and neck, there is 0% permanent partial or total disability to these regions as a result of her claimed occupational exposure. Period. Unfortunately, it is evident Ms. Rivera has a pattern of alleging work-related injuries, oftentimes with similar alleged mechanisms of injury. Period. It is interesting to know that Ms. Rivera has been able to continue in a full-duty capacity with the insured, despite these numerous alleged injuries. Period. Parenthetically, she described at the outset of the evaluation that she underwent lumbar sacral spine surgery in 2017 by Dr. Glass. Period. This was after a fall at work in 2007. Period. However, she stated there was no connection between the two. Period. And